Last week, we saw him in Thessalonica. He's in his second missionary journey now. He's picked up Silas. He's picked up Timothy. They've came across the sea, started at Philippi. And we saw the salvation, of course, of Lydia down by the riverside and the church that was started in her home in Philippi. Then he made his way to Thessalonica, began to preach there to the Jews, made his home there in the house of Jason. And if you'll recall, on last week, we saw how that they didn't like it. The Jews didn't like it. And so they've run Paul out of Thessalonica, and he's resorted to a city by the name of Berea. And so we're going to look tonight at his prudent move to Berea and his preaching in Berea. Let's read together. Acts 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul in Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they conducted Paul and brought him unto Athens. And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, this evening that you'd help us to preach with unction. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless us to learn something tonight from the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that every word that would be said would be seasoned with the salt of heaven. Bless us and help us now as only you can, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, as Paul and Silas have journeyed on this second missionary journey, what we've seen is they have stopped at two major hubs. They've stopped in the hub of Philippi, which was a major city that had a booming sea trade, and then stopped at the city of Thessalonica, which also was a booming city. And I have mentioned it a couple of times how that Paul's theory was to try and win those big cities and allow the churches that would be established in those big cities to spin off into those more rural areas. But now what we'll see tonight is that Paul goes to a place by the name of Berea. Berea. It could have just as well have said Burnsville. Berea. Little no place town. Little hole in the wall. Off the beaten path. There's no main highway to Berea. It's an out of the way town. But can I say this? The heat was on Paul and Silas so hot that they needed a Berea in their lives. These men have been fighting tooth and nail. And when they got the Jews stirred up in those big cities, it was no small thing. I mean, buddy, they had a fight on their hands. And they had been duking it out with the religious establishment. But God had them a Berea. I say thank God for that. I'm glad that when things get too hot, God's always got a Berea. He's got a place off the beaten path. He's got a place that he can pull us aside. Amen. Give us a little rest, a little space of help. That's exactly what Berea is going to prove to be for Paul and Silas. And so he takes them out of the limelight and he puts them in Berea. Now, one would think Berea, it's like a relief valve it's an opportunity for Paul and Silas to get off the trail. You'd have thought they'd have hunted them a house and hid out. They wouldn't have made any waves in Berea. But the Bible tells us in verse 10 that when they got into Berea, guess what they did? They went right into the synagogue of the Jews and started preaching the Word of God. And see, Paul and Silas, they never looked at it as an opportunity for a vacation. They said, oh no, here's an opportunity for us to continue to spread the Word of God. And as they were prone to do, they found a synagogue of the Jews. And I don't mean to go back over that because we've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it as to why Paul hunted out the synagogues. But he found, as his custom was, he found a synagogue of the Jews. And he began to preach the Word of God in the synagogue. Look what the Bible said about the men of Berea. The Bible said there that who coming thither went in the synagogue of the Jews. In verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And so we see that Berea is going to respond, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. Berea is going to respond very favorably to the gospel. Can I point something out to you? The nobleness of the men at Berea has not been forgotten. I want you to think about this. Out of all of the churches that Paul established and wrote epistles to, many of them, you'll not find a lot of Corinth Baptist churches, maybe one here or there. You'll not find many Philippian Baptist churches. I've never seen one. You ever seen a Thessalonican Baptist church? Never seen one. But I can take you to a half dozen or more Berea Baptist churches. You know why? It's not just because it rolls off the tongue good. It's a testimony to the fact that they received well the Word of God at Berea. Let's think about the details of what happened there. First, the Bible tells us that they received the Word. Can I say this first of all about the church at Berea? They listened. Oh, that's pretty simple, isn't it? But see, in Thessalonica, many of the Jews, they refused to listen. Kind of makes me think of when they were stoning Stephen. The Bible said they stopped up their ears. They didn't want to hear it. And so they refused to listen. But the men at Berea, they said, you've got something to say, and we're going to listen. We want to tune in. We want to listen. I want you to think about how that when Paul saw listening Jews, it must have stirred his heart. You know, Paul told us in the book of Romans, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. And Paul had such a burning desire to see the Jews get saved. But by and large, when he preached to the Jews, they didn't care. And not only did they not care, but they were belligerent toward him. They hated him for it. And so again and again, Paul, see, was sent to the Gentiles, and Paul knew that. But again and again, Paul tried to reach out to the Jews. That's his people. He's a Jew. He wants to win Jews, but they wouldn't listen because God had turned their hearts away, see. And so they didn't want to listen. They stopped up their ears. But here in Berea, Paul has found a group of Jews that have a spiritual appetite. Can I say to you that we live in a time where people don't listen to preaching? Now, I'm going to say this. We live in a time where there's not a lot of preaching done. There's a lot of stories told, and there's a lot of politicking done, and there's a lot of screaming done, but not a lot of preaching done in our day. But I will say this, even where there's preaching being done, there's churches full of people that are not interested in listening. Have no spiritual appetite. No appetite for the things of God. I've seen it. And folks could care less about the Bible. They want to hear news stories. They want to hear funny anecdotes. Give us the preacher that have us rolling in the aisles. That's the preacher that we want. But they don't want to hear a preacher that's simply going to stand and expound the Scriptures. You can study the life of the Apostle Paul. You can read in all of his epistles, and I've yet to find a joke. I've yet to find an icebreaker. I've yet to find him telling a tale. See what I'm saying? They expounded the scriptures, and the people had a spiritual appetite, and so they listened to the gospel. That's the first step in understanding, is listening. But not only did they listen to the gospel, but they examined the gospel. And the Bible said these were more noble in that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, if we were to change the word more noble to unusual, it would fit our time. These men were unusual because they searched the scriptures. Most don't. Most don't. Most folks, they sit in a service like this and the preacher will preach and they'll wait on their time to get out. You know, everybody probably can find the book of Acts, but thank God I wasn't preaching out of Hosea. You'd have never found that. I'd have been Habakkuk. Oh, Habakkuk? Is that New or Old Testament? I don't know. Try to find Habakkuk. Acts you can find. That's right after the Gospels. We'll stumble on Acts here. But you know, we live in a time where the Scriptures are not searched. By and large, the Scriptures are not being searched. These were noble men at Berea. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures. They examined the Scriptures. Now, why did they do it? What was the purpose of their examination? Well, the Bible tells us they wanted to know whether those things were true. How can you know if I'm telling you the truth? You say, well, preacher, you preach here a long time. I trust you. But how can you know for sure if I'm telling you the truth? The only way you can know for sure is by searching the Scriptures. That's your spiritual obligation. This country is full of heresy, damnable doctrines, because people have taken man at his word instead of searching out and seeing what thus saith the Scriptures. All preaching should be examined by the Scriptures. And it's a red flag to me when a preacher does not take well to having his preaching examined by the Scriptures. My ministry ought to be open to an examination of the Scriptures. And if what I'm saying doesn't line up with the Scriptures, the Scripture is not wrong, I'm wrong. In a congregation that is learning the Word of God, it should be well provided with Bibles. Everybody ought to have a Bible. And it should be done like this. As the preaching's going on, you've got your Bible open to the place, and you're listening and examining, listening and examining, listening and examining. And then later, when you go home in your personal study, you ought to examine. See, that's not to discredit me. If I'm preaching the truth and I'm preaching what God gives me, it will not make me at all uncomfortable for you to examine what I'm preaching in the Scriptures. A true minister never fears an investigation if he's doing right. Now, think about the protection in this. Examining the Scriptures is a great protection for the soul. The Roman Catholics, they didn't want anybody to have a Bible. They kept it unreadable for years, and then when they started translating it into English, the Roman Catholic Church did everything they could to stop it from being translated, because they knew that they were doing things that were contrary to the Scriptures. What was it that Tyndale said? He said, when I'm done, the plowboy will know more Scriptures than the Pope. Amen. You have an English Bible in the King James Version laying in your lap that is infallible, inerrant, perfect in every way. Why would you not examine it? Why wouldn't you search it out? It is a great protection in your life to simply know the Scriptures. Most of the doctrines that get passed around that are a problem, they're stopped with just a simple study of it. You don't even have to get in depth. A simple study of the Scriptures will expose it. But people are deceived by it. People are taken in because they do not give the time that they need to study the Word of God. Our churches are anemic. Sunday school, a little more than storytelling time. And the pulpits ain't no better. The pulpits of our country are so shallow. No depth, see? Little sermonette, give a little. But look at the principle. The principle here in this examination, Brother Marvin, was not to prove Paul and Silas wrong. These Jews didn't say, bless goodness, we're going to show you, we'll prove you're wrong. No. The principle that was shown forth here was that they believed that this book was true and every man was a liar. That was a credit to those Jews. That's the reason they were noble at Berea, because they believed this book. Can I just pause, take time out in my outline right here and say, thank God for the book. You know what the final authority is at the church? You say, well, it's the church covenant. Oh, no, I believe in the church covenant. Love the church covenant. It's not the final authority. You say, well, it's the bylaws. Oh, I love the bylaws. I wrote them. Amen. But it's not the bylaws. I'll tell you what the final authority is. The final authority is this book. What thus saith the Word of God? What is the chapter and verse? Give me the scriptures. That's the final. God wrote a book. And it's by the book that we're to conduct our lives. It's by the book that we should run this church. And so you all have a book in your lap. May I encourage you, examine it, look at it, take the things I preach, run the references, make sure I'm right, nail it down, because all that matters is that the Bible is the final authority for everything in the church. It's all that matters. Look at their persistency. The Bible said they searched it daily. They weren't occasional scripture readers of the Scripture. Now, Luke describes these men as more noble than the rest. Why were they more noble? Because every day they were searching the Scriptures. Luke said that made them more noble than all the rest. Somebody said, I want to be a nobleman. Don't leave your Bible laying in the back seat of the car all week. You can't be a nobleman by allowing your Bible to lay on the back seat of the car until it's time to come back to church. Oh, no. You've got to get that Bible out. I'm a lover of the Bible in general. And I love Bibles. I collect Bibles. I've got, you know, Bibles are kind of like guns. You can't have too many. And so I'm all the time buying a new one, something I like. And this is my latest one right here. And boy, I'm in love with it. It's got such a good leather smell. I get up in the morning and I'll read it and then I'll smell it. Oh, I love the smell of it. I love the feel of it. I love to have it in my hands. I love to seal up the Word. But let's not forget, this book's true from cover to cover. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And it's what we run our church by. It's what we run our lives by. Why wouldn't we look at it daily, daily, daily? So, they examined the gospel. But then these men of Berea, they believed it. Look what it said, verse 12. Therefore, many of them believe. Therefore, anytime you see that word therefore, you look, see what it's there for. What caused them to believe? What caused them to believe? Verse 12 says that many, many of them believed. Well, look at verse 11. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searched the Scripture daily, where those things are so. So they searched the Scripture, and that searching of the Scripture caused them to believe. Verse 12, therefore many of them believed. So their searching of the Scripture led to a belief in the message. That's the way it ought to work, friend. They searched the Scripture and it caused them to believe. Now, I know a lot of church folk that I've talked to over the years. They belong to different denominations that believe strange doctrines. They go searching it out, because I've had them come to me and ask. A lot of times about losing their salvation. That's probably the biggest one. Eternal security matters. They'll come ask, tell me what, and I go to show them what the Bible said. Oh my goodness, just right in there, walking through the Scriptures, show it through the Scriptures. I don't have to try to twist or say, now, what I believe this means or what I think this means. I don't have to do any of that. I can just show them Scripture. And then they go back. They go back and try to talk to whatever church it is they came out of, their preacher. And their preacher gets all offended. Tells them they hadn't ought to be reading them verses. See what I'm saying? Oh, that ain't what it thinks. Now, here's what I think it means. And let's get over here and look in the book of Exodus. And let's go over here to Leviticus. And here's what I think this means. And here's what. See, they can't stand the test of the Scriptures. If I believe a doctrine that people that study the Bible struggle to believe it because they can't find it in the Bible, then I'm wrong. That doctrine's wrong. We ought to believe things that are easily searched out in the Scriptures. You seeing what I'm preaching tonight, church? So, we see that they believed. Look at the number that believed. Many believed. Many believed and were noble. Let me say this, it's always noble to believe the gospel message. That's a noble thing. And the Bible said, honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men also, not a few. So there's Greeks, honorable Greeks that are believing. Gentiles, highfalutin. I've already pointed this out. The majority of people that receive the gospel message are poor people. Average folks like us. Real rich and highfalutin people rarely ever receive the gospel message. They've got too much pride. But a miraculous thing is happening in Thessalonica and in Berea in that some of the highfalutin are receiving the gospel message. It's unbelievable. But they're receiving the gospel message. Now, I'm going to ask you a question right here. What do you think? Put your thinking cap on. Church, Paul started a church at Philippi, and I can show you the church epistle to the Philippians. Paul started a church at Thessalonica, and I can show you the church epistle to the Thessalonians. Paul started a church at Corinth, and I can show you the church epistle to the Corinthians. Why no church epistle to the Berea church? Why didn't you write a church epistle? Why don't we have a book of Berea in our Bible? That bothered me earlier today. I got thinking about it. Tanya, I thought, it's a good church. Look like they deserve an epistle. Reckon why Paul didn't write to them. Look like they deserve a book. Good church, noble church. Why didn't they get an epistle? Well, come to me. I should think about it. What did Paul write the book of Corinthians? He wrote to the Corinthian church to correct problems in the Corinthian church. He wrote to the Philippian church to correct problems at the church at Philippi. To the Thessalonican church, to correct problems in Thessalonica. Could it be that the Berea church started out so nobly, started out so right, laid such a great foundation of searching the Scriptures that Paul really didn't have anything to correct them over? That's why we don't have a Berean church epistle. Could be. See, if you want a church to run right, A good ideal for that is to build it on the Scriptures, searching the Scriptures. If you'll build it on searching the Scriptures, it'll work. Churches that are built on personalities, churches that are built on programs, churches that are built on this idea or that idea, they're on sinking sand. But you take a church, buddy, that's founded and built on that, that'll stand when the world's on fire. I got to hurry. Now, they're doing great. Paul's a preaching. Folks are getting saved. And you'd think that everybody'd just be so happy, but we're going to find there's some that's got a disdain. Can I say that spiritual wisdom doesn't get any honor on this planet? You can forget it. Oh, they honor every foolish thing in the world, but you get to putting forth some spiritual things and they'll come out of the woodwork to fight against it. Can I say this to you tonight? And what we'll see and what we've already seen again and again as we've studied through the life of Paul, whether he's up at Iconium, whether he's out in Antioch, whether he's in Philippi, Thessalonica, or here at Berea, one constant in Paul's life, and that's persecution. Can I help you with something? Listen right here. Tune in right here. Too often, Brother Neil, in our society, we judge how well somebody's doing by how little of persecution they're getting. We'll say the ones that are really flying are the churches that are growing, the bank accounts up, everybody loves the preacher. Now think about it in your life. The churches that we've esteemed high, we've said, oh, that's a good church. Everybody just loves that preacher. Everybody just loves them people. That church got such a fine reputation, see. But I'm telling you, God don't esteem things the way we esteem them. Paul, he caused trouble everywhere he went, ended up in a problem all the time. Folks hating him, wanting him dead. That's the true test of the gospel ministry. Real preachers upset folk. That's just the truth. New Testament, you look at them Old Testament prophets, people stayed mad at them. The whole time, somebody wanted to kill them all the time. Paul, he had persecution. Look where it came from. Guess what? It's the Jews of Thessalonica. Now, they can't weave well enough alone, can they? They run them off. They're gone. You thought they could have said, I washed my hands of that, and I'm done, they can leave. But you know what? Evil is never satisfied. It's never satisfied. Evil never comes to a place where they say, well, that's good enough. I want you to think about our lifetime, would you? You think about evil. I remember the homosexuals, sodomites, we just don't want to be discriminated against. They work toward that. We'll be satisfied. Oh, if we can just have gay marriage, we'll not ask for anything else. We'll be satisfied. Got gay marriage. Oh, we forgot there's some transgenders over here, men that wants to be women, women wants to be men. If we can just let them use whatever bathroom they want to use, we'll be satisfied. Won't ask for nothing else. See, they're never satisfied. There's always a new goalpost. Evil's always got a new horizon. So, well, see, they get what they want, then they want something else. They're going to keep, and I've said it for years. People thought I was crazy. I preached up there at the old building. I got scolded more than once. I said, I'd get up, I'd say, gay marriage should be legal. They're going to legalize it. Stand back there at the back door, they say, preacher, that'll never happen. It happened. I tell you something else I've said for years. They're going to push for pedophilia to be recognized as sexual orientation. That's the next thing. I mean, what else is there to okay? We've okayed every sexual perversion on the planet. What else is there? What other horizon do they have? That's it, honey. They're going to say that them fellas can't help it if they love on children. They can't help that. It's a sexual orientation. You say, preacher, where'd all that come from? I'm just telling you, evil's never satisfied. It always hunts another thing, another evil thing. Once they've conquered one hill, they always look for another hill to conquer. Here, the Jews at Thessalonica, they got what they wanted to run Paul and Silas off, but they weren't satisfied with that. They went down there to Berea, and what the Bible says, they said they stirred up the people. So they got down there in Berea, and they got them all in an uproar. They stirred them up, got them all going. Let me say this to you. Stirring people up against the servants of God is one of the easiest things in the world today. I'm going to make a statement right here, and I want you to listen. So what I'm about to say is pointed and true. I can get out here and talk about Brother Kevin, run him down, say he did this, he did that, he did the other. Won't mean people get stirred up. But when you go to running down a preacher, it stirs a crowd. Because the devil hears that and he goes, oh boy. And he stirs up as many as he can with it. He'll stir up a big, great battle, and it'll happen in the church. As a matter of fact, it's a sign of low spiritual maturity when a church can get easily stirred up against the preacher. Get them all stirred up. That's the way it is with the ungodly. Look what happened in verse 14. Are you with me? And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Oh, we've seen it happen again and again. They get what they want, don't they? The only hope Berea has is the preaching. But it's the one thing they run off. They ran it off in Thessalonica. They ran it off in Philippi. Now they're running Paul off in Berea. This time's a little different. This time, Timothy and Silas stay behind. Apparently, Paul was the lightning rod. Now, don't get me wrong. Timothy and Silas, they weren't compromisers. But maybe not hardly as abrasive as Paul. And so, but look, their interest is getting, and I love this about Paul, and I'll show it to you again and again. Paul's interest is getting the Word of God out. That's his. He's not interested in building a ministry. These days, preachers, all they're interested in is building a ministry. They got to build a ministry, build their name up, self-promote. Paul wasn't interested in that. So when he seen he was causing a stir, he looked at Timothy and he looked at Silas. He said, "You boys stay here and preach. I'm going to get out of the way because I'm probably doing more damage than I am good. I'll go get on the ocean, go to the next stop and get things ready. Y'all stay here and preach as long as you can." See? And so he separated. He separated away. And he got on the ocean. But look what the Bible said. The Bible said there in verse number 15, "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens." Now, let me show you how sold out the Christians were in Berea. They said, "Paul," I don't know exactly how it happened. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe somebody in the Berean church said, "Paul, I got a boat, and you can have it. Matter of fact, I got a crew. And we know that you've got to get across the ocean. You're in a tight spot here going toward Athens. 225 miles, you'll never walk it. But we can put you on the boat, sail you across, you can lay and sleep. We'll just conduct you right over." They fell in love with him. They said, "We're going to help you. We want to help the ministry." Can I say that's always the heart of noble Christians? Noble Christians always have a desire to advance the ministry. What can we do? How can we be a help? What can we do that'd be a blessing today? How can we help get the word out? How can we further the work of the gospel? That's the heart of noble Christians. Christians at Berea, they're noble. They're noble because they kept their nose in that book. They diligently searched the scriptures, took nothing at face value. Diligently search the scriptures. And they're going to establish. They're going to establish a church on it. Now, Paul, next week we're going to see him wash up on the shores of Athens. You've probably heard of that place. Athens has some pretty big time. It's a big time. It's the hub of intelligence. We're going to see about Paul. What's he going to wash up with? What's he going to say? How's he going to approach them? Going to be by himself a while. Timothy and Silas, they're staying back in Berea preaching. So the missionary, all the old missionaries by himself. I love to see it in my mind. You know, sailing those days. Billy probably down in that boat reading in his scroll by lamplight. Saying, "Oh boy, I've got a message for Athens. You just wait." Washed up. Oh, I don't want to get into that next week. Washed up on the shore. "Oh, we're here. old man of God's going to step out on the dock, and the grandest thing that ever happened to Athens is fixing to take place. The Apostle Paul is going to bring them a word of God. That's the grandest thing that ever happened to any area, is when a preacher shows up with the Bible. Paul said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news of glad tidings. Amen. Bringing the gospel. Let's stand to our feet. Father, Lord, would you help us to be a Berean-style church? Lord, the students of the Scriptures, Lord, committed to searching out and believing the Word of God. Keep us away from heresies and apostasies at this church. Help us to be solid, foundational, Lord, with our roots spread deep in the Word of God. Noble Christians that believe our Bibles. Lord, would you help some of the folks here tonight? Maybe they're not in the habit of reading. Maybe they're not in the habit of studying. Would you help them this week to have a renewed interest and desire to search the Scriptures? Lord, I pray that you'd lay a thought or subject on their heart or a book on their heart, Lord, for them to search. Bless us as only you can. Touch us and be pleasing in thy sight. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, I appreciate your good attention tonight.